It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. It is Easter Sunday. So I guess we say Happy Easter. Ryan Ely and I here on a Sunday morning. We are about to play one of the most fun interviews I've done in, well, definitely in the past year. It is Easter Sunday, and this morning the kids got up, and there's for some reason there's more excitement for my kids with Easter than for Christmas for some reason. Really, because they're just so excited about candy. And Lynn is great about that. And anyway, they get up, Easter Bunny comes and leaves lots of chocolate. So they're running around and there's the Easter grass all over the house. And the Easter Bunny left wide receiver gloves too in their baskets, which just, that is a very insightful Easter Bunny. So this morning at 7:30, my kids were outside playing Odell Beckham Jr. football with their wide receiver gloves. Just remarkably on point Easter Bunny this Sunday. We hope to have one of the most fun interviews you'll hear in a long time. Carrie Schwab Pomerantz, daughter of Charles Schwab, to hear about some of the really early days in the 70s of when Charles Schwab got started on a shoestring after several bankruptcies. And a remarkable interview with Carrie Schwab Pomerantz coming up right here. I did the interview just a few days ago, and I want to play some clips for us here live on Money Matters on Easter Sunday. Enjoy. Carrie, let me give you a quick intro so folks know really kind of just your general background,
yeah,
which is ultra impressive. Carrie Schwab Pomerantz, your CFP, first of all.
Yes.
One of the leading advocates of financial literacy in America. We'll give you that title.
Oh, well, that's very nice. Thank
and
you.
And I've followed you for a lot of years, and I just know you as a trusted voice for financial literacy and also with corporate philanthropy. And the world of employee volunteerism, which for me, for the show here, for Money Matters, is a really big part of what we do, because one of the number one traits of happy retirees is volunteering.
Yes.
So we talk a lot about that. So just this year, Carrie was appointed as commissioner of the San Francisco Commission on the Status of Women. And you've done, Carrie's done extensive work in Washington, D.C. as well, which means we know right out of the gate you're a very brave woman for doing that. And Carrie's work for Democrats and Republicans. She advised the President's Advisory Council on Financial Literacy under President George W. Bush. So she's also related to a guy named Charles Schwab. He was the guy that founded the Schwab investment firm that you and I both know today, and we talk an awful lot about, and we have for many, many years. Carrie's the director for Schwab Charitable, one of the largest donor-advised funds in the U.S., and I'm also a big fan of her book, The Charles Schwab Guide to Finances After 50. Amazing you could write that being so much younger than 50, by the way.
I know. How could I do that?
But you're not even here on a book tour.
No. I'm speaking this week at a conference, the Hope Global Forum, which is bringing about 3,000 people from all over the world to figure out solutions for eradicating poverty in the world.
Wow. So you have a big speaking event.
I have a big event, yes.
I'm sure you're not nervous for that at all.
Yeah, right in front of everybody.
So Carrie, I will say welcome to this table.
Thank you, Wes.
All right. So you don't know about this, but your book came out in April of 2014.
Well, I knew that.
Well, you didn't. Well, you don't know the story, though.
Okay.
The quick story is that I didn't know you at the time, and that it was the same month that I launched my book.
Oh, no.
You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. So I immediately was so mad at you because I was like, it's, you know, Carrie Schwab Pomerantz. Here she is with this giant audience, and she came out with a book, my same exact audience. And she's going to just squash my book and nobody's going to read it.
And obviously I didn't. You did.
Well, we both of our books have been going strong for a lot of years.
Yeah.
So, and then I realized pretty quickly that it's not like it's some zero sum game. There's a lot of good books out there, yours being one of them. And I've talked to a lot of folks that have read both your book and my book together. So that's, I think they're a good pair.
And we need more people to read them.
I like to hear that. Yeah. So again, the title of your book, I know you're not here on a book tour, but The Charles Schwab Guide to Finances Over 50. And wouldn't it be nice on Amazon if you could control the price?
Yeah.
And you have no control. And I have no control. Once in a while, Amazon will put the price at, like, one time they did it, they put my book on sale for $1.99. and the book sales just went through the roof. But they only did that for like 3 days, and then they stopped. So,
well, at least your numbers went up.
It's only like 9, 10. What is your book now? $10? $11?
I don't even know.
It's precious.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest with you, I didn't write it for the money. It was really to try to, to help more people. So,
well, you really are an advocate. So let me get into some of these questions. What was it? The first thing is I know about you, and we've talked a lot about Schwab. Most folks know the name. What was it like growing up with Charles Schwab as a dad? Chuck. Do you guys call him Chuck or Charles or just Dad?
I call him Dad. Okay. I mean, everybody calls him Chuck, but I just can't do that. So a lot of people don't really realize that my dad was a struggling businessman until well into my 20s.
Wow.
Yeah.
But had he started Schwab from as long as you can remember, and it just took a long time to get going? We had a lot of other things going.
No, he started it. So he had a couple startups, mm-hmm. and he writes about it in his own books where he failed. You know, they were shut down, including a mutual fund, way back, I don't know. It had to, I guess, been in the late 60s.
Yeah, okay.
Because Charles Schwab was founded in 1974. Mm-hmm. I started at the company in 1976.
Wow.
I was 16 years old, and it was my first real summer job. I had worked, I had paper routes and babysat.
So it's tiny. It's only a 2-year-old company.
It was a total startup. It was two rooms. Yes.
Wow.
Can I tell you? It's pretty funny. So there was my dad in one room, and with his other executives, and they had floating tables. Right, so there's no privacy.
Yeah.
And then next door was probably a room like this, maybe a little bit bigger, with an oval table and black rotary phones around it, where the brokers were taking in our client calls. Meanwhile, rotary phones, and then in the corner was Henrietta, the switchboard operator.
I don't even remember switchboard phones.
I don't either, but I just remember Henrietta. You cannot forget Henrietta.
And so back then, do you remember like what it cost? This is back when a trade was like $500 commission if you went through a big Wall Street firm. But was it originally like $50? Was like a really cheap?
You know what? I should know that. I don't remember, to be honest with you, and I should go back. I mean, I can picture the ads, that picture of my dad sort of like this with his hands.
Yeah, his hands on the desk. Yeah.
And we were all about discount brokerage.
As far back as I remember, it was like in the $25, like $24.99.
I want to say $29.99, but I'm sure, I'm talking about even longer than that.
Yeah.
So it had to have been more. But it was obviously way discounted from, our competitors at the time, because that's what my dad was trying to do, is make investing more accessible.
Yeah. Well, and this is what I wanted to ask you about. I don't know if you got any, it's not like people yelled at you and threw things at you, but I do remember back even to about 20 years ago when I started, and there was still a giant part of Wall Street was commission-based, and commissions were $200, $300, $400 every time you're buying or selling something.
Yeah.
And then Schwab came along and had been there for a long time, but it was getting more and more prominence, Schwab and E-Trade and any other discount brokerage firm. And there was this anger from Wall Street. It's like, I can't believe they're doing that. They're going to put us all out of business. And they didn't do that. What I think is great about innovation, we initially get very nervous about it, and we're nervous today
about
innovation.
Robo,
it's like, oh my goodness, robo-advisors or just robots taking all of our jobs. But very often, and this is a good case, this is a perfect case, is that it just created another giant industry, which was the giant discount brokerage industry. And then Schwab has evolved, so it hasn't put brokers out of business, it hasn't put Wall Street out of business. It's just made the whole investing industry more, to your point, accessible.
Yes, I mean, it's created a bigger pie, right? There's more investors today than ever. And as you say, with innovation, with the 401k, with mutual fund marketplace, with technology, far more Americans today are participating and investing than they ever have before. So it's all, it's all good.
The when it comes to fees, though, was that kind of the very impetus? If you could go back to the 70s, was that kind of just the mission? Look, we're going to just make investing way less expensive for everybody?
Yeah. Well, remember, it was 1975. It was May Day, and the SEC deregulated commissions. And most brokerage houses, you know, wire houses in New York, looked at it as an opportunity to increase their commission.
Right.
And my dad say, wait a minute, this is way too expensive, and you don't necessarily need a broker to place a trade.
If you want to buy 100 shares of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, why do you have to pay hundreds of dollars?
Right.
So
right.
he discounted it, and you know, so at the time it was considered sort of the no-frills discount where you could just place your trade for those people who knew what they were doing.
Right.
So a lot more, less expensive, and again, that created more opportunities for more people to come in and invest.
What was the best advice, maybe to back then, that your father, that Charles Schwab, Chuck, gave you, that you, or maybe that you go back to and resonate with the most still today?
Well, a couple things. One is, like I said, my dad was a struggling businessman, so I didn't get an allowance. I always worked.
Yeah.
So I would say that two things. Well, actually, three things. One is, he instilled a strong work ethic, you mm-hmm. know, into me. And as I said, I've never not worked. Two, he taught me how to save, or, you know, the importance of putting money aside. And then I have a cute story about when I was in my 20s. And it was just when IRAs were coming out.
They were new.
They
right?
were very new. And Schwab had just come out with its mutual fund marketplace. And I called my dad thinking he would give me the hot tip of what to put.
It was the best fund.
Yeah. And he didn't give me the best tip. He just says, go put your money in two mutual funds. Pick them, whatever you want. Just participate in the market. And I was a little irritated by it. But now I totally understand. It's really about participating in the market.
Participation. Yeah. Right. It's getting started.
Yeah.
My kids this morning asked me, I don't know what prompted this. Maybe they saw a Georgia Lottery ad. But they asked me, they said, Dad, if you won the lottery, would you give us a bunch of money? And I just have just written an article about a book that I like called Meet the Me Generation. And I was
so
like, are
funny.
You kidding? I was like, Ben, are you kidding me, man? I was like, I'm not giving you any money until you are so old that you don't even need the money.
Yeah.
I said at least 35 before you get a drop, probably 40. And then at that point, you might learn the value of money, which you obviously did. And your dad, Charles Schwab, obviously taught you that at an early age. And then the value of participation, which I love. All right, we got to run to quick news, weather, traffic is what we do here at WSB
Radio. Okay, we got to get the traffic.
And we'll come back with Carrie Schwab Pomerantz, Certified Financial Planner. And stay tuned for more right here on WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Happy Easter. I'm your host, Wes Moss. I want you to listen in with an interview I just did the end of the week with Carrie Schwab Pomerantz, daughter of the Charles Schwab Investment Company. Listen in. We're back here with Carrie Schwab Pomerantz, Certified Financial Planner, special interview session. And we only have, this is a quick segment here. You talk a lot about helping people create a financial safety net, no matter what age it is.
Yes.
And it's certainly in uncertain times. I just saw a post this week, Tony Robbins in his new book, Unshakable, and he's in kind of scare mode. He's scaring people.
Oh, no.
How uncertain are times today, and just in your quick general opinion?
We live in a dynamic world. Things are changing, you know, changing, you know, left and right, you know, continuously. I mean, think about in 2007, 2008, how dire it felt.
It did.
So there's all, you know, right now, obviously, we're in a political situation, a very contentious political situation. There's some global issues going on and so forth. But it's really, when it comes to your finances, it's about getting prepared. And getting all your finances in order so that you can ride these storms, mm-hmm. whether they're up and they're down.
Regardless of whether we're launching missiles to Syria or how much Congress hates each other, how much the public hates Congress, or regardless of the scenario, I think your point earlier too about just participation—it's the only way we eventually. Are on the train when things do go well.
Yeah.
And I think it's an important message.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, being prepared is, first of all, saving, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people who listen to this are financial professionals themselves, but I think a lot of people forget that. And if we could get every 20-something-year-old to save 10% for the rest of their lives, they'll have a a retirement, you know, or equivalent lifestyle relative to what they're used to over the years. Get everybody to
if they were to start in their 20s.
Yeah, and of course, if they wait till their 30s, they have to save 20%. If they wait till their 40s, they have to save 30%. So the longer you wait to save,
I think that's a good clear message too. I like that for parents to tell your kids, look, you save early, it's only 10. Save late, it's 20. Yeah. Save even later, it's 30.
Exactly.
And we've got to run to quick news, weather, traffic, which we do here at WSB.
Okay.
Stay tuned with us. If you're just tuning in, we are interviewing and having a conversation with Carrie Schwab Pomerantz. You might recognize the name Schwab. And we'll be right back.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Probably the most fun interview of the year, at least from a money perspective. Good morning. It's Easter Sunday. Welcome to Money Matters. About to play, continue to play an interview with Carrie Schwab Pomerantz, daughter of Charles Schwab. Just a quick programming note, a reminder, later today, and this is, if you turn on CNN or Fox News or any of the political channels this morning, you'll hear that they're talking about the special election in District 6 right here in the state of Georgia. Today, from 1 until 2:30, right here on WSB Radio, we're going to be replaying the candidate forum that I hosted, all 18 candidates for Tom Price's former seat. The election is Tuesday. So if you're driving around in the car from 1 to 2:30 today, you will hear that debate that I moderated, and it's a lot of fun. Otherwise, let's go back to this interview, which we had a lot of fun with Carrie Schwab Pomerantz. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters, where we have the distinct privilege and pleasure to be sitting with Carrie Schwab Pomerantz. She is, there's a giant bio she has. I would say, if I'm going to just highlight this, if you're just joining us, she is, of course, related to Charles Schwab, founder of Charles Schwab. We heard a wonderful story earlier about when Schwab was literally, the Charles Schwab as a company was a couple guys as a startup. Yeah. Carrie was head file clerk. and now Carrie's the director of Schwab Charitable, one of the largest donor advised funds in the United States.
Yes.
So I do want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the one thing. Well, you know what? Let's get right to that.
Okay.
I want to skip to charitable giving because, again, it's a really giant theme. In my book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, The Five Money Secrets of the Happiest Retirees, I did this giant survey and I asked folks about what are their core pursuits in life. So
yes.
Hobbies on steroids.
Yes.
And there was this wonderful relationship of the larger number of different core pursuits led to happier retirees versus lower numbers. So happy retirees had 3.6 core pursuits. Unhappy retirees had 1.9.
Mm.
So more than three, less than two. Two very different groups.
It makes sense.
But the number one core pursuit listed in my survey for the happy retiree group was volunteering. And which again includes charity. Church is actually a separate category that was listed, but charitable giving and volunteering is such a giant part of gratitude and happiness that I've written about. We talk about, tell our audience though, what a donor advised fund is, because it's such a wonderful vehicle and it gets like no press whatsoever.
Yeah. And Wes, just to kind of take a step back, just for the audience sake, I'm also president of the Charles Schwab Foundation, which is the philanthropic arm of the Charles Schwab Corporation. And so over that, I oversee our strategic programs on financial literacy, national programs with, by the way, Boys and Girls Club of America here in Atlanta, and all our volunteerism of our 16,000 employees. So it's very much a part of who I am. Yeah. Then
that's a lot of volunteer hours.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's so important to us as a company. Then, as you mentioned, I am chair of the board of Schwab Charitable, which is the second largest donor advised fund in the country. And that's where our clients put all their appreciated assets to then in turn give back to society.
So what they delegate as their future giving.
Yes, yes. So the way you asked me about a donor advice fund, think of it as like a little like a little mini foundation. Mm-hmm. And in fact, a lot of people don't open up or don't create foundations anymore because the donor advised fund is inexpensive and so easy to use. So look at like a little mini foundation or a little mini IRA where you get the tax deferred, you know, growth. And we have clients that are as big as a billion dollars.
That's a big.
A trillion's a little
Gary.
Big. Yeah, a billion.
And I work
billion
with them
is
too.
Still big. as low as $5,000.
Wow.
So you don't have to be rich to have a donor advised fund.
Have your effectively the equivalent of your own foundation, which you
correct.
Go back 30 years ago was a giant legal expense to set up.
And, correct.
Right.
So you put in your appreciated stock. That way you don't have
or
to pay.
Or cash. I mean, anything.
Or cash. But the right. best is appreciated stock. As you know, as an IRA, then you don't have to pay the capital gains tax on the stock and more can go to philanthropy. Then
because the charity doesn't have to pay. Once it's in a fund, they get the tax. You get
right.
the deduction, and they get the
you
money
get a deduction,
tax-free.
And you don't have to pay capital gains tax,
yeah.
assuming you put in appreciated assets.
Right.
It can be stock, it can be cash, it could be hedge funds, artwork, you know, private equity. So lots can go into it. Then it's liquidated, and either if you have over $250,000, your IRA can manage it for you, or we have a various pool of mutual funds that you can choose from and have it invested in that.
And then what about when it's time to
give?
Say, yeah, let's talk
okay.
about that.
Well,
part
that's
of it.
That's what's so wonderful about it. I've had one. For years and years, and when I'm ready to give, which is every year in the mm-hmm. fall, I point and click. I just go online, and I always joke, my kids, high school, I swear they ask me three times a year for the annual fund.
They do.
Feel like you're always
I'm
being hit up?
I'm on a couple charity boards, and that's a great
yes.
charity trick. Yeah.
So it's a great trick.
It's annual give. Wait
right.
a minute, wasn't it like 3 months ago?
Yeah, didn't already give. So I go online to my account, I go to my history, and sure enough, it was last fall that I gave to the school.
So you keep track of when you gave.
Yeah, I say I grant again, couple of clicks and off the money goes. Making charity so much easier. And in fact, we have also talked to our clients and they say they give more to charity because it's so easy today with a donor advised fund.
Is it only a certain a number of designated charities that are part of the system that you can give to, or can you pretty much add any charitable organization that you'd like
yeah.
to give to?
Any charity that the IRS has deemed a 501c3. So it's up to
you. A giant list.
Yes, a giant list. So and then there shouldn't, unless it's not a 501c3, then we can't do it.
And so that even includes schools.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Schools
yeah.
and your church and whatever, the environment or animals, human services, whatever.
What are the I don't know this. I'm not going to hold you to this number,
yeah.
but is there an average? I mean, I'm racking my brain right now thinking about how many different things that Lynn and I give to, and it does seem as over the years we typically if you give once to an organization you believe in it, so then you keep giving to it, mm-hmm. and then you add a nut. Maybe you're introduced to a new charity, and they kind of expand over time. And you start giving to a lot of different places, and that's why I think it's such a good idea to use a donor advised fund. But do families just keep giving to more and more places, or is there? Do you guys have like an average? The average Charles Schwab Foundation client gives to 3.7 charities per year.
You know what? I should know that, but I don't know that exact number. Our clients give $250 and give as low as $50. There could be hundreds and thousands of dollars, to their favorite university.
Yeah.
So I don't, I know I've seen those numbers. I don't have them
but
offhand.
But again, you tend to see folks give to more places.
Absolutely.
Over time.
And even in my own case, I give mm-hmm. more and more. It's just too easy. I go to an event with a friend, a philanthropic event, and I may not write a check right there, but I go home and I take the little brochure. And
think about it, research it.
I just get online and I point and click and send the money.
How did you, let's switch to Atlanta because you have some roots here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
First of all, did you live here?
I lived here for 13 years. All three of my kids were born here.
No
Piedmont
kidding.
Hospital. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, my husband was a journalist at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and he actually wrote the book Where Peachtree Meets Sweet Auburn.
What?
Which, yes, yeah. Which is about the Ivan Allen family and the Maynard Jackson family from Civil War and slavery to 1996, the Olympics.
Did you... where did you guys live? Or you just...
We lived in Virginia Highlands, and then when our family expanded, we moved over to Druid Hills.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. We love Atlanta. We have such fond memories.
You have a couple kids?
Three children, and my middle son actually came back and went to Emory.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so you have lots of time here. Where did the kids go to school?
They went to, first of all, Fernbank, the elementary school, and then Padilla.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, on Ponce de Leon. Yeah.
Well, I know Druid Hills. Well, I used to live in Druid Hills. So you've been here. You've had a lot of time here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Where did you and your husband work for the AJC?
Yes.
And where did you then, so I guess I was going to ask you how your philanthropic journey got started here. It's just because you lived here. Were you always involved in this? And what were you more specifically in Atlanta?
No. I attribute the Atlanta Women's Foundation for getting my philanthropic juices going.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Okay. I was in my early 30s.
Yeah.
I hadn't even finished my family. You know, I was in the middle, right? Babies and galore, working at Schwab. And a girlfriend who was in banking asked 8 of us to go to dinner. And we were all in financial services one way or another. And she invited the head of the Atlanta Women's Foundation to dinner. And basically the ask was, or she wanted to introduce us to the work of the foundation and get us to come together as women in finance to raise money for women's economic parity.
Mm-hmm.
And the commitment was...
As in Google. Right? As in economic parity, as in in pay?
Pay. Okay. Yeah, pay, really. Yeah, and so job training, daycare, so they could actually, you know, bring in a paycheck, a respectable paycheck.
And pay support, for daycare.
Yeah, and support their family and so forth. And get more equal, you know, equal pay, equal jobs, and skill sets. And so I remember going home, tossing and turning. Because to me at the time, $50,000 sounded like so much money to raise. And I had never asked anybody for money before.
It's scary.
I was really scared. Yeah. But anyway, I realized, wait a minute, there is a foundation that focuses on women? And, you know, I guess my friends told me I was, you know, hugely cared about women's issues. So I signed up. And not everybody did because they also were scared or, you know, they
to
were scared to commit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to raise
And
money.
I ended up being the number one fundraiser all 3 years. It was a 3-year commitment. And then I became chair. And then after that, I always call philanthropy sort of like a potato chip. You just can't have one.
Yeah.
So after, I was involved with Atlanta Women's Foundation, I was then asked to go on the board of Cool Girls, which is also, a nonprofit here.
Yeah,
here.
Very prominent in
very
Atlanta.
Prominent,
sure.
Yeah. I was chair of the board there.
Wow.
So again, this was sort of the beginning of really getting involved and finding really my passion around philanthropy and giving back and women and helping, you know, underserved women.
So it started here.
Here in Atlanta.
That is a cool story. Well, our WSB listeners, I'm sure we're going to appreciate that. And it's very cool that you have so many roots here coming all the way from the left coast.
Yes.
And we're glad to have you back today. We're with, if you're just tuning in, we're interviewing Carrie Schwab-Pomerantz, certified financial planner, been with Charles Schwab since... Basically, you were born.
Yeah.
And these are some fascinating stories. More with Carrie Schwab-Pomerantz when Money Matters returns straight ahead. We are back here with Money. You are listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, interviewing Carrie Schwab-Pomerantz, certified financial planner, and the best guest we've had all year. And
you tell everybody that.
Well, you're the only guest we've had all year. And so I'm 100% truthful here.
Okay, okay.
But still my favorite guest, because we usually just take live calls with Money Matters. We don't have a lot of time. I want to ask you a question. Tell me about right now financial literacy and really why it's so important to you.
So as we talked about, I've been in the business forever. And what I have seen is that the lack of financial literacy cuts across Americans from all walks of life. It is blind to socioeconomic status, to gender, to age. And so many Americans today, as you know, Wes, you know, live paycheck to paycheck and they can't make ends meet. You know, a more recent study showed that 50% of Americans can't even come up with $400 without selling something or borrowing. It's
500 bucks. Yeah. 50% of people
can't come up with $400. Yeah. So, you know, and it really came out strong in the Great Recession. So I, you know, personally, I really want people to have a better life. And I wish that we as a country could really rally around it, because we do live in a world of doing it ourselves, right? I mean, that's a wonderful thing, but it's also not such a great thing if we're not getting engaged with our finances. So
we've got a lot of do-it-yourself investors that listen to Money Matters.
Well,
a ton of people.
Then what I'd like to say to everybody here is, you know, let's make it sort of a national cry for doing it ourselves, and let's bring other people along. I mean, from the White House to the schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been involved with programs, national programs, with the Boys and Girls Club of the inner cities, with AARP and People with No Money 50 and over. And like I said, even everyday Americans, all of us have family and friends who have money, or, you know, and have a way to put money aside but don't. And so,
where do folks find, how do you find Schwab Charitable? What specifically do we Google or we search for?
Well,
for
the donor advisors, it's schwabcharitable.org.
Okay.
And that's where they can put money aside.
Schwabcharitable.org.
Mm-hmm. Open up an account and the best thing is put appreciated securities, and certainly we have staff that can really help you if you have something more complicated to give to charity.
Thank you so much for being with us. This is a treat and a pleasure, and we really, again, I have followed you ever since we came out with a book at the same time.
So funny.
And it's really, really cool to meet you.
Yeah,
and I
really
wish you continued success in all of your ventures, and thank you for being here with us today. You're on Money Matters.
Thank you. No passing name.